talking to Lorraine DeCount. Lorraine, just for the record, would you please spell your full name?
Lorraine DeCount, LORRAINE, DICKHAUS.
And you're married, Lorraine?
Yes, I am.
And your husband's name?
Fred DeCount.
Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape, Lorraine?
Yes, I am.
Do you work?
No, I don't. I'm a homemaker.
You're a homemaker?
I am.
And how about your husband, Lorraine?
He's retired, twice retired, and he's part-time working now, and raised 5 children.
Uh-huh.
And they're all married now. Some in full-time in my hobby, and getting more involved in quilt clubs, which you know.
Yes.
And
do you, you said you have 5 children, girls, boys?
3 girls and 2 boys, and I have 6 grandchildren.
Do they all live around here?
All but one. Freddie's in Louisiana, and hopefully moving back this way, he's transferred back to Cincinnati area from the boy's chemical company is who he works for. And they just transferred him back, so in the next 3-4 months he should be here with us.
Great. We'll be happy to have him back.
Oh, definitely.
Have you lived here in Park Hill all your life?
No. I always say I'm an adopted daughter of Kentucky. I come from Illinois, a suburb of Chicago called Cicero. And I met Fred when he was in the service with my brother-in-law. And in 1946, we married, and he came to live here in Park Hills, where his mother and father at the time had farmed this whole hilltop. And then during the war, they had sublotted the lot and sold them, and we built our home up here. And we've been here, living here ever since.
Oh, how interesting. Mm-hmm. So you must like Kentucky.
Love it.
Great.
I think I'd ever leave.
Where were your parents from, Lorraine?
My dad was born in Bay City, Michigan, and moved at the age of 5 to Saginaw. And my mother was born in Cicero, Illinois. And her parents came from Poland. In fact, both of my grandparents have come from Poland, migrated from Poland to the United States.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And dad came from Michigan to live with relatives here to look for work at Western Electric. And my mother was a sweet little girl that worked not too far from him. And they started going out, and they married, and were the product of the marriage.
Right.
There were 3 girls and 3 boys, and I'm the only one that left home after Mary moved to Kentucky. But then after Dad retired from Western Electric, they all moved to California, where my sister had gone. And she was in what they call the rack business, which is designing and dressmaking. And she started as a dress designer. And then with her getting ill, Mother and Dad went out there to help her, and they never came back. And in a year or so, the rest of the family had moved out to California. So I'm still in Kentucky, so I love.
Do you plan to stay in Kentucky, or do you think you'll ever move to California?
No, I love Kentucky too much. It's the natural beauty, and I guess the rural areas of Kentucky. But really, I love the craft and the art. You don't see this anywhere else. I really love it. I don't think I'll ever move.
Did you go to school in Illinois?
Yes, I did. I went to Columbus Grade School, and then I went to Morton High School. Graduated from Morton High. And then went to work in a radio factory. And then during the war, as the boys were coming back, ones that were injured in World War II, I gave my job to a veteran. And then Dad got me a job at Western Electric until 46, until I got married.
So you got married and
mm-hmm.
started raising your family.
Raising my family.
Where did you, or when did you learn to quilt?
That goes back to when I was a little girl, about 9 years of age, I believe. Really fell in love with it when I went to visit my grandmother in Saginaw. She was the quilter. It seemed like she donated a lot of her quilts to the church, to bazaars, to make money. And then as we visited there, they didn't take time with the grandchildren like we do now, play with them, you know, and entertain them. She put a needle in our hand and wanted us to learn how to do these crafts, because she was a sewer. She sewed all her clothes and aprons, and sometimes I believe she made grandpa's shirts too. But I learned from her, and then as she came to visit our family in Cicero, mother picked up the art from her, because we needed blankets and quilts and, you know, beds. So she started, and then my sisters got involved in quilting. But I remember mother, every time she sewed, she would always get a quarter yard or a half a yard more than what she needed for her dresses and mm-hmm. clothes, because she sewed all of our clothes, even our slips, and she made our little panties and never wasted anything, because this was right during the Depression. So she would have a box or a bag that she would put her scraps in. And then when Grandma would come, well, they would start cutting patterns out, and Grandma had always cardboard patterns in her purse, and this is how she started my mother out. And then as I was growing up, I could measure myself at the table or the quilt rack, you know, how I could reach, and this is how I found out I was growing, which is kind of silly now, but I find my grandchildren doing the same thing, measuring themselves at the table, you know, and then in a couple of months, they're just a little higher, you know. And then we had no television, and the radio we had only a small crystal fit at the time, and so with earphones, you didn't do much listening to the radio. So we used to quilt and sew, and this is where I started until I got married, and then I didn't have time with moving here and getting acquainted with a new area, which I didn't know no one at all. And start raising my family, which my husband built the house first, and then we outgrew that house and built this house here at 1110. And busy with the children, I start sewing their clothes and doing the same thing with the material, which is too much to throw away, so I start putting it aside, and I thought one of these days I'll get started. And I did. And started making my little appliques on pillow slips and decorating my towels. And then after I found I had more time with the children out of school and married, and I just had Rita at home, I really started into quilting.
When was that? How old was Rita when you started?
Rita was about 18 years, 17 years old. She graduated, she's 17. So, oh golly, I can't think of a year now. About in 76, she graduated Notre Dame Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I started getting all my quilting together. And Fred made me a quilting frame. And I started out, as my mother did, with the quilting frame, which was a lot easier. But now, seeing with the lap quilting and the hoops they have, it's more convenient, really, to move your quilt around and move with the family. As they say, go with the flow, where the television is and with the radio. And you have more company if you're quilting on your with the hoop on your lap, because you could speak together. Where with a quilting frame, you're isolated to one area of the house, and usually that was my back bedroom. And it seemed like we had a house divided. He was downstairs or up on in the family room where the television was, or he would read his manuals of wood. And I was in the back room, so I took the quilting frame down and put it on a hoop and went to join him. And that's how I've been doing it. And I found out it's easier and I can get more comfortable.
When you do your quilting in a hoop, do you do the up and down?
Oh, yes, that's my favorite.
That's your favorite.
I could do tinier stitches, which I could get 12 to 14 stitches to an inch. where I do the in and out, it seems like I can get my stitches as small. And if I do that way, if they're uneven, the tiny stitches are at the bottom, and sometimes I can't take quite all the material at the bottom, and my stitches are larger at the top. So that's uneven quilting. And a lot of times I feel, now I know this is just my opinion, that the quilt will break away from the batting if it's used, seeing that you're only catching a few stitches at the the threads at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So I still go with the up and down, and I can feel it's more uniform, and I'm just more comfortable with that stitch.
And you do the up and down with the hoop in your lap?
Yes, I do, mm-hmm. as well as on the large frame, if on I should ever have a large frame up again, that's how mm-hmm. I always do.
Mm-hmm. What were the quilts that you made when you were learning to quilt? What patterns?
They were more the block patterns, piece quilts. And I believe the first one I started on was a 9-patch, which turns out to be my favorite, because I think I started with it. And there's variations of the 9-patch piecing quilt. I think that early American women have started out with that pattern.
Mm-hmm. How much time would you say that you spend quilting and weaving?
Well, when I first started, it was like in the evening time. We'd like be 2-3 hours of a day. I'd be counting on and off, getting up to start dinner and with Rita, and if anyone else came to the house, it would be more of a part-time, more just like a little hobby that I had started. But now I devote, sometimes 7 hours a day in quilting.
7 hours a day?
Mm-hmm. And then I argue to go to bed. One time I couldn't sleep. I just had things on my mind. And especially when Rita got married, it seemed like I missed her so much. And found myself crying and thinking what she was doing. Couldn't go to sleep because we were so close, Rita and I. Seeing that there's 6 years difference between Cindy and Rita, she was our, child. And so I found myself, disturbed in my sleep. So I'd get up during the night and I would quilt for a while, half hour to an hour, and I'd go back to bed, and it seemed like I could rest a little better. It's good therapy.
So you feel that you quilt better in the evening, or is that the time you quilt?
In the evening I like, because I don't have the disturbance. I'll pick it up during the day, in the morning, sometimes after Fred leaves to work, if he should be working. But again, I find time, that's a better time for me to do my reading, my quilt magazines and my Early American Life magazines and all the goodies that come in the mail. That's when I sit down with my third cup of coffee. Which I love to read too.
What quilt magazines do you get?
I get the Quilters Magazine, and I get Quilt Magazine, Quilt Newsletter. And I've been getting, since I've been getting these magazines, I've been getting literature in the mail. But I also get books that my children give me as gifts on quilts. And I have oodles in my cabinet, just various magazines that I pick up.
Do you get your quilt designs from these magazines or from the books?
From the books and the magazines. The quilt newsletter. I took two patterns out of there, but mostly out of the quilt book that my daughter has given me. It seemed like they're more the patterns I like. I call them the old time patterns.
What is the name of the book?
Oh, it's just Quilts and Things, I believe it is, or is it Quilts? I can't remember the name of it now. I have them all handy. And then there's the Quilts and Coverlets, which are more modern designs, which I don't go into too much. I leave that to the young people. I like the older patterns better.
Which are some of the patterns that you enjoy making? You mentioned the 9-patch. Is there any other?
I like the applique. I made a quilt of the flower pot and the rose. Was it the Rose of Sharon? And the hearts and flowers, which I had made for a bride, but decided to give it to my daughter. She was a bride too, so it gave her as a Christmas gift, which I had given three quilts as gifts, two to my daughter, and a small crib quilt. She was expecting our third grandchild, and I made an apple quilt for him. With his name is Brady, we call him Mr. B, and the last apple has a big chunk out of it, and we put Mr. B there. And I had made, as a gift for my daughter-in-law just 2 years ago, a Christmas tree skirt, which was their house, and a fallen mailbox under the snow. And then I had quilted two tops, and quilting one top was my mother's, but the first one that she had made in the 1930s. And I just had given it the name because I can't find a pattern, which I call it the Michigan flywheel. And I'm finishing the second quilt that she had made, and I'll date these with her initials and the year that I quilted it, that is my initials.
What is the second pattern? Is it the same?
It's the same pattern.
The same pattern?
Because she had my brothers both in the same bedroom, and they had twin beds, so she was making them for their twin beds. And she never said she made the tops but never quilted them. So this is my second generation quilt, I call it.
In your opinion, what makes a good quilt?
The fabric, the quilting, I think what you put into quilt is what you get out. Your time. Oh, there's so much more I just can't think right now. But a good quilt is the texture of your quilt. The small quilting, if you have a cotton batting, your quilting has to be much smaller so the cotton doesn't wash apart. And with your polyester, your quilting would be further apart, which is nice for your applique in your big designs because it does not wash apart. But the texture of the quilt would be I just love my cotton. I think your cotton makes a beautiful quilt, and it holds up, and I feel like it's stronger. There's different thoughts on it. But the color, your color combination. I think the way I do my color combination, take out my crayons, and I start putting my colors together. And then after I get my color combinations, then I get my material together. And I think it's a good construction is your the colors and the type of fabric you put together.
Do you prefer the Dacron bat, or do you usually use a cotton batting?
No, I go with the Dacron now, in the polyester. And I think it makes for a more wholesome quilt, I believe.
Why do you make quilts for women?
Oh, golly, I could go on and on and on.
First,
I think it's the love of quilts. I've started out at a young age as to understand why you make them. It's an art. And the way my grandmother had started out, I think she just loved the texture of material, the texture of thread, and to hold a needle in her hand. It was something, it was like an artist holding a brush. They just don't put it down. And she never did. Even when she would go to the kitchen to make her dinner, she would have the thread in one pocket and her scissors and a needle and a little piece of felt in the other pocket. She just lived with it. And I think this is how I started out, because I find myself going to the kitchen with a thimble on my finger. And this is what I had all day yesterday, the thimble on my finger, never realizing that it was there. And I guess it's just something that I could pass on to my children, a heritage. And the more I'm into it, the more I find that I could do more with material. And it's something I could pass down. And as I'm looking at that quilt now, I just see the colors that were in my dresses and just the combination. I could see something different in that quilt. I could see love in that quilt that my mother had put in there. And the time she put in, she must have been thinking of her past memories, putting this quilt together, and this is what I do. And I just love quilting. It's something that'll stay with me until I go to my grave, I guess. I hope they put one in there with me.
Do any of your daughters quilt, or have you taught any of them to quilt?
On my first quilt, I was trying to fill them out who would be interested. But it seems like Rita, my last daughter, who was, I went to Louisville with to see the quilt show. I think she has a part of me because she understood what I was talking about, which Claudia and Cindy, my older daughters, they're in crocheting and in macrame. Where Rita is more into needlepoint, which I have done some. And the understanding she has of quilts, because when we go into antique shops, the first place we'll head into a quilt corner, if you see a quilt, you can, mother, look at this. What do you think of this? And I think Rita would be the one to carry on, because when she married in July, I gave her a log cabin quilt that I had made a few years ago as a wedding gift, plus an old bed and dresser we had refinished for them. And she's taking care of it like I do. Yeah, I do my quilt. And she's into more magazines. She had sent me a magazine, you know, I don't hope that, and she circled one, wouldn't this be fun to make? So maybe, I still have a feeling that we'd make a quilt together. She'd be about the one that would take over, I believe.
It's a wonderful sharing.
I think it's a love that you share with one another, because when you quilt together, you talk over things, problems, you solve problems over quilting. You could solve the world's crisis over quilting. Talk about the new baby that's coming, and naming of children, and talk about family life. You share when you quilt. And this is what I found out through my grandmother and my mother. And I find this doing this with Rita now. And what I'd like to do is go back to Michigan and try to get a piece of my grandmother's quilt, which I don't have, so I could start a fourth generation quilt, put it into a quilt somewhere, or just frame it if it's just a small piece that I could get. And my mother's, out of eight children, she still has seven living children. And I have three aunts that are in the 90s. And my dad died at 78, which was, he was the oldest child and the first to die. And this was 11 years ago. So I feel that there's some grandma's quilting still on someone's bed, that maybe if I could take a picture of it and tell them what I'm doing, the quilt club that I'm in, maybe someday I'll have a quilt, my first quilt.
Are you working on any quilts now?
Yes, I'm working on my mother's quilt, and I've got three already started, and material, I didn't dare say material, that I have put aside for these quilts. Because as I'm quilting, I'm already getting two or three started, and I have several patterns. Two would be a piece and one's an applique I would like to start. So I just don't have one going. I have several of them going. Plus I have other hobbies that I keep going. I make dolls. So I sew on these dolls in between. I surely have to live to 500 years of age to get this all done. But I will. I'll keep on this. Because I've started my granddaughters in a doll collection. And I make their dolls. So every Christmas I give them a doll that I make that is dated and with my name on.
Oh, how wonderful.
So they'll have, if they don't have the quilts, they'll have the dolls.
Are there any particular colors that you use in this quilt? Which colors do you like?
I love earth tones and pink and rose. Those are my colors.
Those are your favorite.
I'm a Scorpio and they said Scorpios are gold and browns, which must be true because I do. If you see my house, I have reds, I have browns, and my pink, my flowers are all pink. I love pink. I think it's because Grandma likes pink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I see pink and I go to it. But as I, my house, I have more of this colonial type coloring. But I had tend to go to browns and tans and beiges, which I wear a lot.
Sounds like your grandmother was one of your favorite people.
She was small, my build. And she was so lovable. She always had time for someone. And I think she had time for her. I think I was about her 19th grandchild. She must have loved children, which she did. And when she'd come to visit us and go back home, she would always have one of us with us, which was me. And I guess because I sat with her rags. I'd go into her rag bin and pull out colors and wrap up my dolls, and I'd play with rags. And I'd do this at home, and my dad'd come from work, and he'd say, oh, Lorraine and her rags. And I guess I just grew up with rags. Just love material.
Did you ever participate in a quilting bee?
Just one time when I was in Saginaw with the grandma, yeah, at the church. They had the quilt rack up, and there were, oh, I guess 3 or 4 women on each side. And of course, there I was with her by her side. We all had aprons on. They all put on these aprons, and of course with the thread in their pockets, you know. And I was the first time and the only time that I had been in a quilting bee besides quilting with Mom and my sisters at home.
How old were you when you went to this quilting bee? Do you remember?
No older than 9 or 10 years of age. And I thought this was the place to get gossip because everybody just talked. And then what interests me was someone would be there with a pot of coffee, they would take a break, and they would have coffee clutch, and someone would bring coffee, cake, you know, or donuts or some baked goods. And they would have their little lunch, and then they'd go back to quilting again. And my mother had done this, and my aunt had come to visit her, and we'd quilt for a while, and then she'd go, oh, time to take a break. She'd make her coffee, and always homemade coffee, cake, or homemade bread with jelly. And this is what we'd have. And wash her hands and go back to quilting. You know, it was time for the men to come home from work.
Oh, that was really
I had a lovely childhood. I really did. And I hope some of this is rubbed off on my children. And I'll show you a quilt, a patchwork quilt I'm going to start on with my 2 granddaughters. And I've started, and it just didn't turn out the way I wanted, and I thought this would be nice for them to use a needle on. And I'll show it to you. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Have you ever heard the term Kentucky quilt? And if you did, do you know what it refers to?
Kentucky quilt.
Is there anything that makes a quilt a Kentucky quilt?
If it comes from some of the counties that I've come, had gone visiting in rural Kentucky, but Kentucky quilt would be something that, oh, I call one of my quilts a Kentucky quilt because it's the first one that I made in Kentucky. But going through rural Kentucky, I've seen many of quilts that were made maybe in Appalachia and in the craft shop. But it's a Kentucky quilt would be more of the life of this person.
Do men quilt? Have you ever seen a quilt done by a man?
Yes. The first time it's at the Montgomery Quilt Show. Montgomery, Ohio. I've seen some quilting, and it just amazed me the beautiful work that they have done. The one was more or less a picture of a duck. It was hunting, duck hunting, and the patience this man had with this quilt. It just overwhelmed me. I thought women only quilted. But this looked more like a painting, and then he apologized that there were some mistakes in there. But no one would have known unless he had pointed them out.
This was an applique quilt?
Applique quilt. It was beautiful. He said it took him 6 to 8 years to make it, and he laughed about it. And I said, oh my goodness, it takes 6 to 8 years to make some of the quilts that I'm seeing. But his stitches were beautiful. And then after seeing that, I have seen other quilts that men had put together. Boy, there were more bold colors. It seemed like the men go with more bold colors than what women do.
Is this one of the differences you feel, that men use bolder colors than women, or is there a difference in their quilting stitches? Or?
The quilting stitches, not too much, but more in their colors, more abstract paintings as you would see. Now, this is what I see in their quilts, more drastic quilt patterns. To me, it turned me off. maybe someone else, you know, it's what you like. And I didn't stay too much with it because I didn't care for it. And I admire everybody's work because everybody puts in what they you know, could in their work. And I never tell someone I don't care for it. But it's what everybody likes. We all don't like the same thing. It's beautiful work, a lot of work in there. But I'll go more with the traditional and more what I like. But I think beautiful work as far as men's appliqué, their piecing, and what they call birds, I couldn't find birds. But like I said, you see in a quilt what you're looking for. And I evidently this man saw birds where I didn't. So I just walked away and told him it's beautiful. But you don't discourage anybody. You encourage them.
Like a painting.
That's right. Everyone don't like the same type of painting. And this is what I think quilting is becoming. You're painting on cloth. And this is what I'm trying to perfect my quilting and my piecing and my applique. That when you look at it, that from a distance it looks like a painting. And I've seen some, and I've admired it. And a lot of the quilts that were made in the 1800s that I've seen at the quilt show proves it. Because if when we stood away from the quilt, further you were away, they were just beautiful. And the velvets and the silks, they all were thin together so beautifully. That I imagine this is what they had in mind when they were working with the material as though they were painting.
What quilt show is this that you're talking about, Lorraine?
This is the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Club, a quilt society that's in Louisville.
The Kentucky Quilt Project?
From 1800 to 1900. Spent 2.5 hours there with my daughter. And try to take pictures of nothing turned out because you can't see the flash bulbs. But I thought if I just had one picture with a little bit on it, it would have been something. But I purchased the book. No limit.
What was the quilt that you liked the best? Which one did you see that you liked the best?
Well, there were really three. There was one, they called them, it was so morbid. But when you looked at the quilt, it wasn't. I feel like this woman had a lot of hardship and a lot of death in the family. But when you look at her quilt, you could almost see her putting this quilt together, the graveyard quilt. It impressed me, and it stays in my mind. It will for a long time, because she had the real coffins for a barter. And then she had the star pattern in the center with the graveyard. And the path to the graveyard was embroidered with roses. And as the family members or relatives died, she took the coffin and put them in the graveyard. But to me, that was like the graveyard was heaven, and the stars were heaven around there. And to me, a lot of your early quilts and your people worked around their church, and religion was their life. And I just firmly believe this was this woman's intention, that she was a very religious woman, and death meant something to her. Maybe life ever after, you know, or hereafter. And then I almost could see that woman quilting just a very depressed woman, maybe a lot of heartache, with a small coffin in there, which might have been her baby, or maybe a grandchild. But Rita and I seen so much in that quilt that we stayed with that quilt an awful long time. And it was disappointing that one situation didn't turn out at all. And then there was another one that was a crazy quilt. It also had little angels. And to me, I imagine it, this was a story of her family, because she had quilts of little patterns in there of embroidery, little girls and bigger girls with small bonnets and large bonnets. These might have been their little girls and their grown daughters. And they had horses in the quilts, which might have been on a farm. Then they had sheep. The whole life was in this quilt. And it was a velvet silk, and the embroidery was a silk. A lot of beautiful embroidery. And then another quilt, which made me feel like I was right about the nothing is perfect, that something had to be wrong with the quilt, because only the one person that's perfect, and that was God. And she couldn't have this quilt perfect, so she made a mistake in the quilt, so there, that it wouldn't be perfect. And it was, I believe, the pink and white quilt with a little red, and she had the arrows facing the wrong way. And she had three rows of the dark red, and then she had her patterns, which were, she could have had the quilt balanced, and she didn't. So it makes me feel like I'm writing my theory about this. And I feel good because Rita had related this to a group that was coming through. You know, maybe couldn't understand why such an obvious mistake was made. And Rita had related this story to the woman that was narrating the quilt. And as we stood there going through the quilt one more time, we heard her telling this woman in another room why that quilt might not have been perfect, and she told our story. So we feel like we left part of our knowledge there, a little history. But I've read this in my early American Life magazine with the colonial women, and this also went with their clothing that they made. They made all their clothing, and they'll never say, gee, that's perfect. Nothing was perfect. There's only thing one thing was perfect, and it's gone. And this is related through the years, and I still believe that. I feel like this is why my quilts are never perfect. But I make a lot of mistakes, and it's not for that purpose. It's just that I just don't have the full knowledge like everybody else would probably.
Do you feel that women, evidently you do, put a lot of themselves into the quilts that they're making, that from a quilt you can gain an insight into what a woman was like, or a man?
Oh, definitely. I'm a firm believer of that.
What do you do with the old quilts when they begin to wear out? You have several old quilts. What would you do, or what do you do with them?
I try to repair them as much as possible. I don't believe in cutting up a quilt unless it's so need of repair that we take a pillow out of it, as I have on my couch. I have two pillows there that I just couldn't salvage anything but the two squares, and I made a pillow out of it. But I will, in the future, use put them in quilt feet and frame them, because I feel this is something that can't be replaced. Because good quilting is—it's just so hard to look at a quilt and dispose of it or cut it up for clothing. I feel you could take new material and make clothing out of that and quilt it, which quite a few women do. But to cut up a quilt for clothing. It hurts me. It upsets me very much. Because I'm very frank. If I see this done, I'm outspoken. I'll tell them about it. Maybe this is rude, but to me, if a person knows what time is put into quilting and what love is put into quilting, I can't see how these designers could buy up these quilts and just cut them up for clothing, because it's only for one season. And then that's the end of it. Women have quilts from the 1800s, and they're still in good condition. To preserve a quilt, it'll last a long time. There's acid-free paper, and you could get cloth to roll your quilts in or fold your quilts in. And I think good care airing your quilts, which I teach my neighbors all the time, and they come to me quite often as to what to do with their quilts. And if I don't know the answer, I go to my book and I evidently find the answer for them.
Do you quilt for other people at all, or have you made quilts to sell?
I thought at one time I would, but there's so much time. It's time-consuming to quilt for someone else. And a lot of times the reward isn't that great. I quilt for myself because with my family, I like to hand down my love to them and my heritage to them. And the quilts I made, I give to my children as a gift. At one time, I had one quilt that I would like to sell. But just the way the woman came in and handled the quilt, I thought there's no way I would put it into her home, regardless of what she paid me. So that's what I decided, just to quilt for myself and for people that, give my quilt to people that I would like to have, that I know would take care of the quilt. Because you could tell a person that would appreciate something. And the first thing she done is took it out and she shook the quilt. And I just took it out of her hands real nice, and then I held the quilt, because you just don't shake a quilt. And you could tell people that appreciate good things. So I just, that was my first in life experience.
Have you ever entered a quilt in a show or a contest, county fair, anything like that?
No, I haven't, because I always felt if my quilts weren't good enough, that they weren't the quality. But that's just how I feel. I don't know what to look for a contest, in a contest to enter my quilts. But some that I had seen, when I come in to look at mine, I felt, why didn't I? But I would like for someone to tell me what they're looking for into a quilt, that I could put a quilt into a contest. I think I would like the challenge. I like the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Has there, in your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitude toward quilting?
I think so. I think there's more women quilting now. On kind of the advertisements in the magazines and the country living now, the way of life, people are going more to rural life, and they find out what quilting is like and the cost of quilts. I think it's brought a lot of people out of the woodwork that found out that they have something that they didn't realize before. And I think the women that are quilting now are more conscious of the type of quilts they're making. Before, like when I started out, when my grandmother was making quilts, they made quilts because they needed the quilts, and they used them. So they didn't put their colors together as well as the women do now. You see that there's fabric shops getting their colors together and putting the bowls out, you know. And I said, how nice. And I come home to my bag of rain, and I pull out about the same thing. If you save your scraps, you could do just as much. That's why when you get material for a dress, get a little extra. But I think as I shop around, I see women are more conscious of their colors and buying their quilt patterns, buying books or for their patterns. I think they're more conscious of their quilts now, because they're not for use, they're more for display now than they are for use like they were years ago. Mm-hmm.
They were more of a necessity years ago.
They sure were, because if you didn't have it, you weren't warm. Because every bed had two or three quilts on, and as the fire went down in the furnace or the stove or the fireplace, you put another quilt on. And a lot of quilts had were quilted with wool batting, you know, like a wool blanket in between, or flannel sheeting. They didn't have cotton batting like we have now. Because, in fact, my grandmother had a lot of her quilts with the fleece blanket in the middle. And if you put her quilt up to the light, you could see the blue stripe or the pink stripe that was in the fleece blanket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But quilting goes back way into China in the, 13-something, where the quilting, I think, really originated in China with their quilt clothing, their jackets and the robes, the kimonos that they wore. That was all quilted, and I think our quilting really came from China.
Is there a difference between the American quilting and, say, quilts that would come from Europe?
I imagine there would be some type. I really couldn't tell you why, but I did see Chinese quilting, and I think the difference there is they're more ornate than what our quilting is. And I've seen quilting with silk thread on silk, which is beautiful. And of course, it's a certain way of hemming. They handle those quilts more or less with gloves on, because any oil from your hand on the quilt leaves a mark. But as far as European quilting, I imagine their quilt stitches are tiny, because a lot of their the clothing I've seen, their hand sewing is all tiny stitches. So I imagine that's what would probably be the difference, because our colonists all came from England, and our immigrants, and they're the ones that quilted, and all their quilting stitches are tiny. They're like 14 to 15 stitches to an inch, so that is tiny stitching.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just the difference, because I've seen some of the quilting lately, or in fact, even some of my mother's quilting was a little larger than what I do, or what my grandmother had done. And in the 30s and the 40s, the quilting wasn't that tiny.
Is that, do you consider the tiny stitches the only thing that makes a good quilting stitch?
I believe so, and the closeness of the quilting pattern. The smaller, the closer the quilting, I think, makes a better quality quilt. Because a lot of the quilting now is just outlining the pattern. And they'll just make larger designs, the background designs, which I think all your old quilts have, your quilting is a lot closer. And I think for that reason would be for the cotton batting that they do to keep the batting together. Otherwise, it falls apart.
Do you have a favorite quilting pattern? You mentioned the outline quilting. Do you have a favorite pattern?
Not really. I like the nine patch, because you do so much with it.
The quilting itself.
The plume pattern.
The plume?
I think it's a beautiful pattern, because the smaller pattern, the more of a feather outline, it's just beautiful. And I think that'd be my first choice.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do any embroidery or any other type of decorative stitching on your quilt?
I did, but to me it was a little more time consuming as embroidery. And I'm not that handy, although I like the embroidery. I'm not that good with the fancy stitches, with the feather stitch, the satin stitch, and the outline stitch, and all that is all right. But to me, I'll stick with the steel fish.
Uh-huh. When you piece your quilts, Lorraine, do you piece them on the machine, or do you do all hand piecing?
I was piecing them all by hand, thinking that on machine it would be easier. I had pieced them on machine, and my seams never met. I found that I was ripping more to get my pieces even. So by piecing by hand, I believe you get your points more even. Because looking at my mother's quilt, she had pieced them on machine, and there's a lot that her corners and her blocks didn't meet, and she didn't take the time out to make them even. But this is what I makes me go back now. When I worked on this, I was wondering what was on my mother's mind that she didn't redo this. Or was she in a hurry, or didn't she have the time, or with the children all I have, she had six. So maybe she just didn't have the patience to redo it. So this is why I'm putting it all in a quilt, because I feel she had a reason for this not matching, or her points not coming together or something like that. And then she had a pedal machine too, so maybe that made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Little foot paw.
Yeah. She had more muscles in the right leg than she did in the left.
How do you usually finish your quilts, the edging? You know, do you use bias?
I was making my own bias binding, but on a few of my quilts, I extended the back of my quilt, and I just turned it over and made a self-binding all the way around the quilt, which made a very beautiful end finish on my quilt.
Mm-hmm.
It made it easier, and the colors match, because a lot of times if you buy a binding, the binding, you can match your colors as well. Your reds will be off, your blues will be off.
Do you usually find your quilts, and if so, how do you find them when you finish?
Lorraine Dickhouse is quite long to embroidery on the quilt. So I put my initials on there, and the month, the date of the year, on all my quilts. Or whatever I make, even on the dolls, I'll date and initial everything.
Have you ever made up any design of your own to put into a quilt?
No,
but you'd like to?
I'd love to, and this is one of the things that I'm starting. I want to make a quilt with all my favorite patterns, and this, I think, will be my next quilt.
What are some of the patterns that you would include in this?
So I'll start out with the tree pattern, because that'd be my foundation, the tree of life. And then I'll put the Rose of Sharon for the reason that's my brother's favorite flower. And he planted that bush in California because he always said the Rose of Sharon reminded him of me. So that would be one pattern that I would put in. And then I'll put in my nine patch. And the, I just have so many. I think it'll be a quilt that'll be go on forever because I have a stack of patterns out. I think the rose and heart. And there's a couple of the goose track, and other piece patterns that I like, I'll put into the quilt. So evidently it'll turn out to be a very large quilt.
Do you have a king size bed?
No.
You have to get one.
I sure will. Or an extra large wall.
Do you belong to any quilting groups?
I've just joined one. It's the Lincoln Valley Quilters Quilt Club. And it has women from Campbell County, Kenton County, Boone County. And I think I have more. Newport, I believe, is Campbell County.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, we just have so much fun. Can't wait to go back to the meeting. The women are just wonderful. The ideas we exchange and exchange patterns, which I think is so much fun. You're always singing, you're giving somebody a pot of gold, and you give them a pattern you like, or your ideas. And this is what makes it nice. I hope to have the cooking be in my home someday, which I think would be nice to have.
This quilting bee that you're talking about, do you mean with the Lincoln Valley Quilters?
Yes.
Or with the...
The first with the Lincoln Valley Quilters, because I think I'm more comfortable with them. And then I would maybe next year I'll have the, for the other quilt clubs to come in. Maybe the from Louisville, Lexington. I'd love to have them come.
The Kentucky Heritage
Here it is, Quilt Club.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone from the the Quilt Society, Kentucky Quilt Society. I don't invite them, send out an invitation, maybe someone will come.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully so.
Oh, I think so. Have you gone to any of the meetings that the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society has, the quilting bees that they have in the state?
To, is it Harriet?
Harry Ford?
Ford, yes. And we had a delightful time. It was my first quilting bee, and it was very, she had a reporter come from the Warsaw, with the reporter, and had written up a nice article on the quilting bee. And of course, Harriet had many beautiful quilts, and she just let us have the run of the house, which I just love that home. And she's such a wonderful person, such a warm person, and you would expect it because she's a quilt lover. And she just had joined our quilt club, so it makes us quite proud. And I believe she had over 12 women at her home.
We're in Park Hills, Kenton County, Kentucky. Today's date is July 26, 1983. I'm talking once again to Lorraine Dickhouse. Lorraine, are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes, I am.
Would you spell your full name for me, Lorraine?
Lorraine Dickhouse. D-I-C-K-H-A-U-S.
Lorraine, in one of the earlier tapes that we did, you said you were married in 1946. When did you move to Kentucky?
In 1946, right after we were married. Because Fred had his job here and he came to them.
You also mentioned that your parents were from Michigan and your mother was from Illinois, I believe. What were your parents' names, Lorraine?
Frank and Stella Plummer. And Dad came from Michigan and Mom from North Israel, Illinois.
Can you spell your father's last name?
It's P-L-U-M-M-E-R.
And your mother's maiden name?
It's Stella Witkowski.
You'll have to spell that.
W-I-T-K-O-S-K-I, I think.
And what about your grandparents? You said they, both sets of grandparents, immigrated from Poland?
Yes, from Poland, from the same town, not knowing one another.
Is that right? What town was that?
It's Poznan. P-O-S-E-N.
P-O-S-E-N. Uh-huh. And what were their names?
George and Catherine Plummer. P-L-U-M-M-E-R.
And how do you spell your grandmother's name? With a C or a K?
With a K.
K?
K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N, I believe. They called her Katie most of the time.
Uh-huh. Now, is she the grandmother who taught you how to quilt?
Definitely, yeah. She was the needles. Mm-hmm. She had the needles, and she's the one that taught me.
You said in the earlier tape that you went with your grandmother to a quilting bee at her church.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of this church?
It's
Do you remember?
St. Mary of Częstochowa. It's a Polish church. And then also there was a church down the street, St. John's, that she would donate her quilts for their raffles, their Sunday picnics that they had. But the big church was St. Mary's Częstochowa, which she had done most of her work and helped other women quilt in it.
What denomination were these churches?
Polish.
Polish? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Were they Catholic? Or?
Catholic.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
You had mentioned that you have quite a few quilt books or some quilt books. Do you remember any of the names of the quilt books, Lorraine?
No, they were just the standard. When I started out, there weren't that many patterns in the books that I had. Were more or less the standard quilt book. I can't even remember the name, who's the author of it. But it had your plain nine blocks or your turkey feet.
Turkey
tots. I can't even think of names anymore. But they were just simple patterns that you would get out of the little work basket magazine my grandmother used to get.
Uh-huh.
And patterns came from there. And also they would exchange patterns at these quilt meetings that they would have with the quilting bees. So most of the patterns came from there, and she would make her scrapbook out of this, and this is where she would get her patterns. And then a lot of times in the paper, let's say Sunday papers, there would be patterns of quilt that she would cut out and send away for. I think at the time you were like 10, 15 cents a pattern, and they would send you one block. And this is where she started. And mine are like from quilt magazines and patterns that I'd sent away for that I'd seen in the magazine. But Quilters Newsletter and Quilt Magazine and my standard quilt book with these good old-fashioned patterns. That's what I have.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandmother have a favorite quilt pattern?
I can't remember if she had. She started me out with the block, the nine patch. And for some reason, I have the feeling that this might have been what she started out with. Because a lot of her patterns, she would take this block and make other blocks from it. She would cut her squares and make diamonds out of her triangles. And I think she might have made a lot of her own patterns from this one basic pattern, which I started on.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's my favorite.
We've seen quite a change in the attitude of people toward quilting, especially in the last few years. Why do you think more women are quilting today? What brought about this change? Was there anything in particular?
With my experience, just with my daughters, I think it's the country way people are living now. Everybody's going back to the country way, the simple way of living. And they're beginning to decorate with quilts, therefore making them that much more popular and finding out that they're expensive to buy. A lot of them are making their own. And I think this is why, you know, the trend is taking up again.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what's going on with my daughters, and I'm making my quilts and giving them to them.
Where do you usually get your material for your quilts? Your fabric. Is there any particular store?
Well, there's two stores I go to. One is Hancock's in Newport, and the other is Peacegood in Erlanger. And it seems through one or the other, I could find the material I want. But now there's so many shops opening up with the cotton, 100% cotton material, like your quilt shops. So it seems like I'm going to start branching out to those places, because with your colors, you can find your color combination so much easier there.
What do you use as a backing for your quilts?
In some I use percale sheet, cotton sheets, or muslin. I find it coordinates easier with the quilts. Muslin is easier to work with, especially not the 100%, but the, some that has the polyester in. It's, of course, it doesn't wrinkle as much.
What type of thread do you use for piecing?
I use cotton.
Cotton?
Mm-hmm. Because if the cotton, if your top is cotton, you use a cotton thread, your hand sewing especially, your quilt will move with the stitches. As with your polyester thread, has a tendency to cut your cotton material through the years of wearing, or if you're laundering, just normal wear, it will cut your material for cotton one.
Do you also use cotton thread for quilting?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What is there any particular color you use? Have you used different colors, or do you stick with one color?
I've used different colors. I've used mostly white, but now I use the beige, and I also use regular red sewing thread for a baby quilt I'd made. I wanted to use the, to show it up a little bit more, and it brought out the color so much nicer with red, and I used blue also.
How do you mark your quilts for quilting? What do you use?
I did use a number 2 pencil, but now that the invisible marker came out, I used that because it disappeared. But I know they'll probably find something wrong with it after years of working with it. There's say something is deteriorating in a material, it might be the marker. But I also use the marker, that the blue marker, and use a damp cloth to take the markings off. I've also used that. But I transferred to this for the reason they said that the blue marker will damage your quilt at some time. But I feel with all the new things coming out, it would be something that would probably damage your quilt, because I feel it's all in experimental stages right now.
When preparing to make a quilt, what do you use for template material? Do you use cardboard or plastic?
I started out with sandpaper for the reason it held onto the material a lot better. I also use cardboard, but now that the plastic is a piece you could use for templates, I use that, but for some reason it still slides where your sandpaper don't. So in some cases I still use sandpaper.
Have you ever taken a quilt class, Lorraine?
No, my grandmother was my only quilt class. No, I haven't.
Is there anything that you would like to add to this tape that maybe we didn't cover in the earlier interview?
The only thing is to go back with the cotton material and the cotton thread. If you're using cotton material, I would prefer, if you're sewing by hand, use the cotton material, because cotton will not, the thread will not wear your material through 2 years. And also, if you're using a sewing machine, to use the cotton, because the sewing machine stitches are a lot tighter and they will wear a quilt a lot faster than if you should piece your material by hand. I found this out through my own experience. And also with the polyester material and your Decron, I still, if you're using cotton in a combination, I'd rather go with the Decron than the polyester. Decron is a lot easier to handle. It's more or less, it blends in with the cotton a lot better. Your polyester does not crease as well. And I found this through my experience too.
You find it difficult to get 100% cotton thread?
Not anymore. I think now that women are using, going into clothing and hand sewing a lot more, I find it plentiful. I don't have trouble finding cotton, cotton thread. And now with your material, your cotton material, you do have to wash material before you use it. I found that out too. So these are the things that I've learned just, and through my mistakes, this is what I've learned. But now belonging to a quilt club, we put all of our ideas together and we're learning a lot more. And this is really an advantage to quilting and sewing.
Is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to add, Lorraine?
No, this is about all. I'll probably think of something after this is all over. But I think this is about all I have to think of.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Oh, you're welcome, Miss Fenn.